Our next speaker is Richard Nathan, who's the director of the Nelson A. Rockefeller Institute for Public Policy here in Albany. I'm going to embarrass Dick by saying that he's really one of the wise men of American social policy, and he's got a memory that goes back to the Nixon administration, something called the Family Assistance Plan. There's a great book about his work in that era called Nixon's Good Deed, and he really foreshadowed a lot of the welfare reforms that have now come to fruition. Dick Nathan.
Thank you very much, Howard. And it's a pleasure to be here at the Empire Center with AJ, who's a wonderful friend of the Institute, and other very good friends that are here for this event. I do go back a ways, and I remember, Ron, when you were in a coat closet, 1986, 10 years before the Personal Responsibility Act. I used to visit you, learn from you, harangue you in a room that had been a coat closet. It was long and thin, and you were starting out, and look at you now. So it's 10 years since FAP, when I was fapping around in government, Family Assistance Plan, 10 years since Ron began on the Personal Responsibility Act, and 10 years later, the Personal Responsibility Act, a retrospective. I read Ron's book. I have heard him speak about many things that are in it. I love the style and briskness, typical Ron Haskins, of that book. When he starts talking about that dastardly genius, Wendell Primus, he says Wendell Primus, but from then on, it's Wendell. Wendell this, Wendell that. It's got a flavor all its own. On page 333, my favorite page in that book, he references Irene Lurie's new book, which he says he liked, on how Irene, who's here today, went out with funding from HHS and the Rockefeller Foundation to look at 969 front line encounters. And she concludes in that book, and I would be happy to give you a flyer that enables you to get a copy of it, that welfare reform got down to the ground. It was a signal. It was a significant change. I've been in the government business for a long time. I have rarely seen people pass laws and have something actually happen. This was a striking moment in our kind of work. It was a kind of accident too, that you had the combination. Tom Gaze and I have studied implementation of the law in the states, of the caseload reduction credit, the block grant flexible money, the good economy, and the spirit among people in the business. From Washington to the states, Robert's world, to the counties and the local offices, where the signals and the behavior changed. Tom and I talked about two kinds of behavior that changed: the behavior of the bureaucracy and the behavior of people who needed help and came to apply or find out about help. Now, 10 years later, what do I think? I was on the phone the other day with Wade Horn, the assistant secretary, wonderful person, a good friend of many of us here. And Wade was grousing to me about how nobody appreciates what he's doing. Ron said there's pretty, people are pretty fairly upset about the new regs, and you hear it all the time. There's tremendous static. This spirit of we're all in this together, we're going to change social policy, has dissipated. And so Wade was complaining to me, nobody understands me, and he's a wonderful person. And he said, you know, everybody thinks, Ron, this is for you, that there was a kumbaya when welfare reform passed. Everybody loved it. Clinton loved it. Everybody loved it. And Wade kept saying there wasn't a kumbaya. There was a lot of controversy. It was later that people began to all get on the same page. And finally, I said to Wade, I said, what is kumbaya? What does that mean? What the hell are you talking about? And he said, well, you remember, Dick, you know, campfires. People sit around and they sing a song. I have to ask my wife, what does she remember that? Yes, she said, I remember that. And when I left this morning early, because I'm sorry, I was a little late here, I had to go somewhere, I left a note for Mary saying, I hope you have a kumbaya day, and I hope the rest of you do. Now, what do I think? A reporter asked me the other day, what should I tell Wade Horn? What do I think should be done? What about these new regs that Elaine Ryan is raging about, and so are other people raging about it, and I'm not in that conversation, but I hear a lot about it. And my thought is that I don't have a good answer for that. I don't know how we can get back to the kumbaya and create a mood of shared purpose and flexibility, but all on the same page about purposes that characterized a period in which there was a great deal of innovation in the States with child care and transportation and ways to pick out the families that can be saved and changing a lot of things in a way that has, and EJ's 100% right, it has depoliticized welfare. Nobody talks now about, you know, used to be every year or every 2 years there'd be an election, everybody's bashing welfare. That's how you identify yourself. How you say how you like welfare or hate welfare, or about how you describe the people that are recipients of welfare benefits. And so Robert Payer had an article recently which captured this, I think, pretty well. And EJ, I agree with EJ, that it isn't in the big picture. This lack of good spirit and high tension back and forthing between the states and the various different caring and not so caring organizations about the new regs is all inside the Beltway stuff. There is still this sense that we have reformed welfare and we have made great strides. Now, what are those great strides? Howard mentioned when I was, as I say, fapping around family assistance plan, best job I ever had, first term of the Nixon administration, working on a lot of exciting things. What did I learn? What was the public's political science finding of my own experience and then since borne out by what I've been watching and learning about? In those days, everybody talked about, Larry can remind us all, the negative income tax. One payment system, smooth, clean, fair, efficient, easy to administer. Fundamentally wrong, unless you're Milton Friedman or somebody, and Milton Friedman loved it, who wants to find a way to spend less money. Because what American government does in an incremental pluralist way is to have different strokes for different folks so you get different constituencies lined up and tied in to helping deal with social issues. The doctors, the hospitals, the Medicaid constituency, the nursing homes, the housing constituency, even the people who want to get votes for the farm bill, and so they care about what happens to food stamps in the Agriculture Appropriation Act. So we have, with EITC, with child care, with some level still of housing assistance, not a small factor, with Medicaid, created a situation in which, if you could put them together well, there are a lot of ways that children in need and families in need are served. In fact, people think we're, you know, the Wild West, public free enterprise, don't do anything for poor people in America. It's not true. We do a lot, but it's not easy to understand it, and it's very hard to put it together. But it reflects our politics of different strokes for different folks, and it is the right way, EITC. TANF is a small thing now. TANF is not money, but it is signals, the five-year limit that's out there. It is operational, but in a very subtle way. So we have come a long way, and now this sense that we can do things and we can work together in American federalism and across all the interest and actors in social policy is come unglued. And I don't know what to do about it. And I expect and hope that the commissioners, Robert, and the two Suffolk County and Albany County commissioners who are going to be educating all of us further in this day will help me figure out how to go back to kumbaya. And anyway, it's a delight to be here, EJ and Howard, Manhattan Institute, Empire Center, good friends of ours.